Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 5 of Goddamn GameCube. If you like our show, please leave us a rating on Spotify and subscribe on YouTube. Thank you, and enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Goddamn GameCube. Greg and Riley are your hosts today, and today we are going to be talking about Limbo, Inside, and a closely related game called Somerville. Riley, take it away. We're in for some unique programming here, so here we go.
Yes, sir. So I believe my philosophy for starting this episode was that we've been talking about some games like this for a while, like these, as you put them, the cutesy indie platformers here and there. We had Little Nightmares, we had White Shadows, maybe a couple other ones. And I wanted to really get down to the one that started it all and kind of examine the DNA a little bit. What makes them successful or unsuccessful? Do you feel the same? Are you generally positive on these, or what do you think?
So it's funny, when you said cutesy platformers, what immediately popped into my brain is these are very uncutesy platformers,
yeah.
Right? They come across like the art style is very beautiful and cute, but these games are horrific.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They're very gnarly.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people kind of dipped into this well over the last 5-6 years.
Well, I feel like Limbo, which we're going to talk about first, Limbo was one of the first games for me where I the word indie game like became something that I learned about.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, I won't steal your thunder here, but I feel like games like Limbo and a few years later Journey, I started to sort of realize the indie scene kind of exists. Mm-hmm. You know, games you downloaded, don't buy on a disc. Limbo was one of them for me.
Yeah. I think maybe the first one was Braid for me in 2008.
Same era.
And this was 2010. It was developed by this studio called Playdead, published by Microsoft. It was on the Xbox Live Marketplace, right?
Like, yep.
That was the big...
That's how I played it.
It did crazy numbers on that. It was like very inexpensive. It was like $20 or something.
Yeah,
like,
or less.
Pretty affordable. And I guess with respect to Limbo, I had to describe this game, it's a very brief and abstract journey of this boy who keeps running into these strange like obstacles and creatures that just, they don't get explained at all. Like, it's just there. And it's very abstract. It doesn't really tip its hand to you at all. You get the sense that he's been looking for his sister.
Where do you get that from?
I think you see her very early on.
Oh, right. Isn't there someone like running off in the distance or something like that? But you could easily miss it.
Yeah. Or it may not even be his sister. It's just like some girl he's chasing through the woods. So this game was allegedly, these figures are going to come into importance later. This former concept artist who worked for IO, you know, that company.
Hitman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Arndt Jensen. It was a team of 8 core developers, which grew to 16 over the course of development. They hired some freelancers, partially self-funded, but also with government grants. They got some of those. And larger investors, you know, kind of coming into the picture later. They wanted to avoid committing to larger publishers during development and rejected advice from investors, including add multiplayer, include multiple difficulty levels, and make the game longer. So all those requests they denied.
Wow. So we actually have some taste here.
Yeah, it does because it gives the impression that this fellow, like, he had like a really strong idea. I don't want to make any compromises. I want to just do it, right? Mm-hmm. And another interesting thing here was that Microsoft asked Playdead, they were concerned about, okay, so this boy, he's going through the woods. Like, there's some really like violent deaths that you can get in this game.
Like all of them.
Like almost all of them. And they obviously, like, a boy, right? I mean, like, not that you can really see like features or anything like that. But it's disturbing to see like a child like ripped apart with like his intestines coming out and shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, then again though, you're only like a silhouette of a
exactly
person.
Yeah,
I mean, but there's several scenes of you either being impaled, chopped to bits. Like it's they're bad.
Yeah, but like so, Microsoft obviously concerned about this, and they asked Playdead to age the boy up by giving him a mustache, which would have been very funny.
Mario Limbo.
Yes, exactly. So I want to quote you as we get into the mechanics of this game.
Oh no.
There are only three things you can do in this game. Is this a strength or a weakness to you?
In this game, it's a strength. I think in some games like this, well, I think we talked about this. It was either in White Shadows or Little Nightmares, where you can only, because you can only do so few things, sometimes I kind of throw my hands up at the puzzles. Like, what do you do? Right. I can only run, jump, and grab. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
But I feel like in this game, the controls are not, don't hinder the game, where I feel like in other games that tried to copy Limbo, I shouldn't say that, other games that took influence from Limbo, perhaps the controls don't work out as well, but yeah, I think in this game it's fine.
No, I agree too, because it's because you can only do three things, like it encourages you to check out the environment more too, mm-hmm. which I like. Also, something I noticed is that there's no like tutorial text at all.
No.
It's just, you figure it out, there's only three buttons, you know, do just...
And I think you can look at the controls in the options screen.
Okay,
I think you can. But there's no like on-screen button prompts at all. There's
nothing. Which I think is very, it helps immerse you very mm-hmm. well. And like I said, like this has become very commonplace nowadays, but like mm-hmm. 2010, pretty ahead of its time. What do you think about the puzzles in this one overall?
Okay. In this game, I think I said this to you off mic where, okay, so I played this game in 2010 when it came out. I actually played it with our friend of the show, Noah. We actually played it together.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. But I haven't played it since. Mm-hmm. So by that, I mean, I just replayed it a month ago because I knew we were going to be talking about it.
Yeah.
And so I have no memory of what I thought of the difficulty when I was in high school.
Right.
I can only speak on from my experience a month ago. So from what I thought, it wasn't all smooth for me. There are some puzzles where the thing that you're, how do I say this? The action that you're committing, it's what the reaction to what you're doing happens off camera.
Right.
So it can be a little bit like I throw my hands up, like what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
There's,
you hear a click and you're
you
like,
hear
I don't
a
know
click
what this
either
is.
Off camera, or there's a puzzle later where you have to, there's like a switch, two heavy blocks and nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and if you hit the switch, a block off screen does something.
Right.
So it's very hard to judge how to solve this. And there's so little to do that I kind of throw my hands up. I'm like, what am I doing? What is going on?
It's so funny. I was just listening to our Rayman episode again. The first game had the same problem where it's like, I heard like a little pop and I don't know. Cause I don't know. I just don't like that in games. Like I need to, don't make me go look for it if it's like a side scroller, you know,
weird.
I don't really like it, but I think there's definitely on purpose some trial and error in this game. I don't really know how I feel about it. It's really like because there's a lot of, I don't know, kind of weird, abstract, Kafka-esque like devices and stuff in this game that are just like, yeah, oh, this gruesome like grindy gear thing is spinning in the background. Like it's not really clear how, like when you start turning the rooms around and stuff, it's not clear that like it's gonna fuck with gravity or something.
Right.
I think some of it is kind of trial and error, trying to like, get you to just get a quick guffaw out of a gruesome death or something. But like it's with, I think the puzzles, like with hindsight, could have been better in some places for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the trial and error thing, I think, is definitely a problem in this game.
Yeah.
Well, also, this, it's more commonplace now, but because this was the first one, I guess I'll give it a pass.
Right.
But essentially every failure is game over in this game. Essentially.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but any wound is game over.
Well, because there's also a lot of kind of timed chases and stuff like that, and it's like if you hesitate even a second, like you're done,
right?
You know, so that's kind of frustrating. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like some other games we've discussed this season, at least you're kind of back in the action super
quickly.
Quick.
There's no loading screen; you're just kind of right back.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I wanted to get into some of the traps and stuff, if that's okay. You can just throw out some comments on these as I bring them up, but the bear traps,
You know what? I think they're fine, but what bothers me is like your jump distance is barely long enough to get over
to
them.
Cover it, yeah.
And it feels like they're really splitting hairs about like what's a game over and what is you like completing the jump.
Yeah.
I feel like you couldn't have given me another inch. Like it's
yeah, because they're like as big as he is.
Yeah.
And you know, you think of a bear trap, it's like you put your foot in it. It's
right,
just like
right,
just
right.
Fucking cuts your head off.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of like saws and stuff like that that just turn you into confetti. I want to talk about the worms. You remember these guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really,
sure.
Really interesting mechanic where I actually like these puzzles a good amount, though it does kind of suffer from the same timing issue where you will walk under this colony of worms of some kind, and one of them gets like lodged in your head.
Yep.
And it forces you to walk in a certain, I guess it's kind of like the Last of Us thing with like the parasite that like forces you to behave a certain way.
Yeah. It forces you to either move left or right.
Right. And it's, you really have to, you can't go backwards the way you came, and you have like a limited time to figure out what you have to do before your character like jumps to his death.
Right.
And I think like, The sunlight makes it reverse.
Yeah,
direction.
Yeah. And if you walk into any sort of pillar of light, which is a light switch, a sunlight, whatever, the worm will make you go the other direction.
Yeah, it gets like agitated or something.
Yeah.
And then you, to get rid of it, you have to get these like birds to eat it.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. And it wasn't unwelcome, but that was interesting. And the big something that's very iconic to me in this game is the big hotel sign. That when you you jump down on it, just like fries you.
Yeah,
it's pretty. Oh man.
Well, the most iconic one to me is the spider.
The spider. Yeah,
that's the big one.
I was gonna be part of the story. The story is so sparse in this.
Oh but sure. Okay.
I was gonna bring it up as like a set piece then, but another thing I wanted to mention before we get too far is like how responsive the controls were.
Yeah.
Very just dead on, because we've played some older platformers that weren't great in that respect, from a little older, but I really like how the physics work in this game, where it's very instantaneous about like pushing blocks and stuff. If you like, you don't commit to an action necessarily, like you can push it back and forth very quick. The physics are very responsive and believable. What I like about it is that, let's say there is some kind of thing that you're pushing around, and it has like a cable stuck to it that extends into the background of the scene. And when you push it back and forth, the cable will like shake appropriately and stuff. It's really nice.
Yep.
It's really good looking. With that said, I think we want to get into aesthetics here a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
So the art style is just like really like the, I would say the banner feature of this game, right?
Yeah. I mean, the aesthetic of the game, I feel like, when people, it's interesting, this is one of these Xbox 360 games where if I say the word Limbo and people don't know what it is, mm-hmm. if I tell them what it looks like, they remember the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the game where you play as the silhouette of a kid, and it's all like the shadows and light and dark.
Black
like,
and white.
It's all black and, it's like the black and white platformer.
Yeah.
People, oh, yeah, I remember this game.
Yeah. It's very strong. I wanted to bring up something that I like a lot, is that it's very missable as the film grain.
Yeah.
That's over everything. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes it look like a 1920s spooky movie.
Yep, yep.
Just the atmosphere in general is like really spooky.
I would say I might throw out the word iconic for this game.
Yeah.
It's one of the, I would say, iconic games of the 360 era, because it's, if you don't know what the name of it is and I describe to you what it looks like, you remember what it is.
Right.
Oh yeah, it's this game.
Exactly. Yep. And do you like the character design, like the little boy and like the other kids and that kind of thing, and creatures?
I would say like the kid design is fine. It didn't really like appeal to me like emotionally. It's fine.
It doesn't like stick out.
It's a choice. Well, you know what? I'll say this, because it is so like washed out and stark, I guess that means it does stick out, because there's no other game like it.
Right.
But I mean, it's fine.
I like
right?
his little eyes that light up.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's
like
cool.
Blinking and stuff. And there's when you get caught in the spider's web, there's a little piece that gets stuck in his hair for a bit.
Yeah.
That's really nice. What do you think about the sound of this game?
I really like, I like some of the gross sounds when you defeat some creatures, like the crinkling and cracking.
It's like wet and squishy. And like
if you get killed by a buzzsaw, the little zzzz.
That is great. That is really good. And I think in general, just kind of there's not really like a conventional soundtrack for these games. But I think it's very, tasteful the way they kind of just have this like Nine Inch Nails shit going on in the background.
Are your footsteps silent in this? I think so.
They're very quiet if they're not completely silent.
I think they're silent.
Yeah. It's you don't feel like you have much of a presence on the world.
No.
It's very, I don't know. But I wanted to bring up, we've talked about accessibility a little bit lately. We may more in the future. One of those other puzzles you mentioned where you hear something from off screen. Specifically, I wanted to bring up the, there's a bear trap that falls out of a tree off screen. And like, if you were maybe hard of hearing, like you would be fucked. Like you'd be like, what happened?
Right.
You
know, like, right.
I guess you would find it eventually, but
if you just walk to the left, I guess.
And you had a very interesting comment about one of the industrial puzzles that had the same issue. It was
I think it's the last puzzle in the game.
I think so. Yeah.
Where like you, there's like this rhythmic, you called it Nine Inch Nails shit.
there's like equipment in the background. Yeah,
there's like industrial percussion noises.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but the final puzzle in the game, or it's one of them.
Yeah.
There's an industrial like percussive sound that plays this rhythmic value, and you can time it out where you can hear the percussion and you know, oh, okay, the piece of music is over. I jump now.
Right.
But if you were hearing impaired, you would not know. You would not be able to do it.
There's no visual cue
to tell you. Okay, like if you could not hear, there is no visual cue to help you solve it.
Right.
So I'm like, huh. I understand that this is tasteful and cool, but maybe not. You know, it's tricky.
It's one of those things where I am like 90% sure there's nothing in terms of like a light or any kind like visual. Thing. I mean, it's cool that it's making you listen, but if you are impaired in that way, it's just something to think about. I guess
you could time it out if after you die 50 times and you slowly figure out how many seconds it is.
Yeah.
Maybe
not the most fun way to do it.
No, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. So just something to think about.
Yeah. It's interesting. But then again, like that era though, we haven't, only some games were taking accessibility seriously, like in that era, like 06 to 10.
No, absolutely.
There were very few.
Yeah, but I thought you kind of got the ball rolling on that.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I'm glad you brought it up. So with that said, can we just get into like kind of like what there is of the story?
Yeah, we'll
do
a brief overview.
Yeah. So like I said, it's this boy searching for his sister or some other girl in the forest. I like how kind of slowly sucks you in. There's not a lot of action for the first couple screens. But pretty early on is the spider. So do you want to talk about this a little bit?
Yeah. So I think how this starts is the spider is in the top right of the screen and his giant legs just impale you if you get too close.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't quite remember how you stop the spider the first time. I don't remember.
You just get away from it.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
But there's some really like funny parts later.
Yes.
Can I talk about those now? Or are we with the spider?
So before you get too far, I think one of the parts of the spider chase is, like I said, when he wraps you up in the web.
Yeah.
And you have to shake yourself out of it. And then you have to hop around as like a cocoon for a little while.
Yeah, it's funny.
As he chases you. It's pretty fucking tense.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about how you dispatch this fella?
I mean, I believe a part of this is you place bear traps to cut the legs off, right?
Yes.
Because the leg will stab the bear trap.
Yes.
Right? Is that right? But I mean, one of my favorite parts is when it's just the spider's body and one leg and you just yank the leg off, right?
Yeah,
it's so gross.
You have to wait until it's like outstretched and your character grabs it and he rips it out and you
just
see like the strands coming out.
And it just sounds like a branch of a tree crackling.
But I think it's really funny that you need to, and so all that's left is just the little like ball of its body.
Yes.
You have to push it into a pit of spikes to go for it. I'm like, this is so vindictive. It's so funny.
It is funny.
It's like, oh man, because it's such a huge threat. But yeah, you get rid of that thing, and then you you run into that like tribe of children.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Where they shoot blow darts at you or something?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I like this part a lot.
This part's also kind of vindictive. You have to put them into traps and kill them.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Maybe Microsoft had you know, maybe it wasn't a bad suggestion.
It's real. It's you putting that mustache on them.
Yeah.
No, it's. I like it though because they don't say anything to you. Like
no.
It's just very silent in the distance. It's creepy, and you have to kind of trick them into their own traps so they get crushed and shit. It's great. And that is like the size of the forest pretty much. You get into this big cityscape here, like I mentioned, the big hotel sign that you got to climb over, like time it in between like the sign turning on and off. And then there's like you get into this sort of factory area where a lot of these industrial puzzles we were talking about. They have these weird like anti-gravity machines and shit like that. And it's not my favorite part of the game, but I did want to mention that in late 2010, so a couple months after this came out, the designer Jensen, he acknowledged that there was an imbalance between the set pieces of the first half and the lonelier or more puzzle-oriented nature of the second half, suggesting that this was due to a lack of oversight during the latter stages of development. So he acknowledged it, and it was like, you know, I know the first half is better.
I mean, you know, I think that's, I'm not saying that's a bad thing that he acknowledged it, but I feel like he didn't have to do that. Like it was
it wasn't
honestly
like
I feel like it's one of these things where he just had an acclaimed game that's good, and but he's also like taking the piss out of himself. You don't have to.
No, because like, it's the back half is worse, but it's not that much worse.
No, I mean, you know what? I don't know what the right word for this is. It's one of these things where I'm like, dude, can you just tell yourself you did a good job? You don't have to beat yourself
this
up.
This is like mere months after you like broke the Xbox Live marketplace.
Yeah, like you could just say, you know what? I think you can, not you, but I think anyone could just handle that better. You could say, hey, we were proud of what we made, you know, and we did our best at the time, right? Anything like that.
I guess just say there was room for improvement.
Well, because, you know, the reason why I bring that up is like, this is not an attack on this guy. He's a very talented dude.
Yeah.
But the reason why I don't like that is, well, you're kind of you may be accidentally taking shots at people who worked on the second half of the game. You know what I mean? Hey, the second half isn't as good. And it's like, you should.
I'm sorry I couldn't get those guys in line.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, let's say you're one of the people who worked on the second half.
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah.
I just don't think you would need to do that. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. He had a point.
No, he has a point, but I think you could say it differently.
Yeah, yeah. So this is kind of the end of the game here, where you have to mess with these gravity machines, and your character like gets thrown through glass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very like slow mo, and then lands in like the same spot that you were at the beginning.
Yep.
You walk up to this grove, and your sister is there, and it ends.
Yeah.
Right? And I think there's something in like when you get back to the menu in their place is like flies.
Yeah.
In like columns of flies over where they last were. Very, very spooky stuff. Very weird. So for each one of these, I'm going to ask you how we're going to feel about the game's length. Too long, too short, or just right? What do you think?
Oh, I'm very positive on games that you can beat in one or two sittings.
Yeah.
And this is one of them.
Yeah.
And I would say this is just right.
Just right. I would say the same.
I would even like, your mileage is going to vary a little depending on how many times you throw your hands up and you're not able to solve one of these puzzles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like this game is either just right or perhaps a pinch long depending on how you struggle with the second half of the game.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I feel the same. So apparently I did want to mention they trashed about 70% of the content just because they felt like it wouldn't fit.
Wow.
So
this was really trim and tight.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's pretty crazy that they worked on that much stuff, and it's really, I don't know. I like that philosophy. You don't really see developers with like, oh, we had too much. You know, it's usually we had too little.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. So as we get into final thoughts on Limbo here, I wanted to ask you like what your interpretation of this game is.
I wish I thought about this before you asked this.
On the fly. Let's hear it.
that's tricky. What this game sort of says to me, I'm trying to also block out similar games that took influence from it, but it's hard.
Yeah.
To me, this kind of seems like the impetus of Little Nightmares, right? The start where you're a kid alone running through these nightmarish things. I think it's just meant to like build anxiety. You have no like parents or people to help you.
Yeah.
Right. And, but it's kind of like, I don't know what the right word is. You said gnarly or,
yeah.
But it's like, there's a little bit of tongue in cheek here where, oh yeah, you're a kid running through these gruesome and terrible traps.
Yeah.
Right. Am I wrong? I think it's just meant to be like, the anxiety of being a kid alone and there's no one to help you.
I mean, that's the real, like, that's, I think that's why it's so successful for sure. I was curious about, because I've read like a couple, I mean, cause I played this, I think I've completed this game like 6 times.
I've only twice for me.
And it was just cause it was like back then I didn't have a lot of money and I was just like, what can I get like a dopamine hit of just finishing a game again? So I knew the puzzles pretty well. And I played it this time. And I've obviously like, so back then I read all these like theories about what it meant and everything. And it's like, I think that the prevailing theory is that it's called Limbo and it's kind of just this, it's the story of this boy. He winds up in the exact same place as the beginning.
So he's caught in limbo.
Is he like stuck in the, like doing this over and over?
Yeah.
Is it the story of his life where you have, the first thing is he has like a fear of spiders and then he faces like social pressure from other kids. He goes to the city to work in a factory. He's tragically killed very young, something like that.
Jesus. I didn't really think about that.
No, just like that's just one. I think it's any interpretation is valid, but that's just one that I read. That's like, okay, I can kind of see if that's what he meant.
Huh.
I could kind of see that that's going on. But,
okay.
You know, 2010, it's pretty adventurous for back then. What would you, what grade would you give this bad boy?
Wow. I think I've said this a lot this season. I'm going high, but how high? Okay. I think I am gonna go B+ on this one because there were some puzzles where the thing that you do like happens off screen and I throw my hands up and I say, well, what do I do?
Yeah.
Like there are only 3 buttons. I'm hitting the switch off and on and off and on and I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe I'm bad. Like maybe I'm just not very good at this game. I don't know.
Sometimes. Yeah. That's how I feel.
And I would say like, there's at times it's like, I couldn't be given another inch with this platforming stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I probably am going to go B+, but if people went higher than me, that's okay.
No, that's what I gave it.
So. Plus?
Yeah.
All right. A little consensus here?
Yeah, getting on the same wavelength.
All right.
So, yeah, I agree. With that said, it's kind of, as I mentioned, sort of patient zero for this type of game.
That's a good word,
and
good phrase.
I was going to ask you how you felt it stacked up to what came afterwards. Is it like superlative? Is it clear there's room for improvement? How does it stand out? If at all, still.
That's a really good question. I think kind of like, man, I can't believe we get to talk about this. Kind of like when people critique the Beatles, like what I have to say is this was like the first one of its kind. What bad stuff are you going to say about it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. And are there people later who iterated on this? Iteration is one of my favorite words.
Mm-hmm.
There are many developers who iterated on this formula and had success with it. And they also put their own spins on it. And we've covered a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, White Shadows, Little Nightmares, like Genesis Noir to some extent. Like, we've covered that kind of stuff. And I think you can't make fun of the first one.
No.
But, I mean, is it superlative? I just think it is, quote unquote, the first one of its kind. And I think it's still solid.
Yeah.
And I think the companies that iterated on it, their product is different enough where they all stand on their own.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I've played ones that are worse than this and ones that are better than this. But it's because it was the very first one. I think it's really like,
I'll say this. You said you've played things that are better and played things that are worse.
Yeah.
I think this game set the standard high.
Yeah.
Which means the ones that are worse, I feel like developers who take a crack at this kind of game, they know, like, dude, people are going to compare it to Limbo. So it's got to be good.
Yes.
So I actually think, I'm not saying your statement is wrong. What I'm saying is I have played very few games that are worse because they have to be good or they're awful, right? Or they're not going to succeed at all.
It's going to be a long episode.
I mean, we'll talk about you and I are smiling at each other.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the bad ones don't exist. I've played a few of them, but I'll stop here and say Limbo did set a high standard.
Yeah, and that is, for the most part, adhered to, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's really one of the first kind of mainstream indie games, as you were saying, as part of the Xbox Live Arcade. As it
is
was
that
known
that's almost then. An oxymoron, right?
What?
Kind of? A mainstream indie game?
Mainstream indie, yeah. But like it got more people like into the... Because I feel like up to that point, it was mainly just retail. Like, you know, what's out.
Yeah. I think I said this about Journey, and I'll say this about Limbo. Those two games, of course, there are people who are more knowledgeable on the subject than me. Those two games are some of what I would call the foundations of my, like, indie gaming scene, like, education.
Yeah.
It kind of starts there.
And it was cool that it just kind of, it took that creative turn where people were like, well, I don't really... see a conventional market for the game I want to make, so we're going to go indie with it, and it somehow worked out.
Well, also, I'll say hat tip to Microsoft for actually letting some of these devs put their game on Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Because, you know, back in the day, like, there was really no Nintendo platform for this. Nope. PlayStation kind of got going around the same time.
Yeah.
And sure, Steam was more difficult to get games on that platform, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good for them.
Yeah, that was and they still have them. As you, I don't know how much they're paying them, but they still have a lot of stuff going through the pipeline on Game Pass and shit. But by the end of 2010, I have a number here: 527,000 copies were sold, and 7.5 million in revenue was generated. Playdead was able to buy itself back from its investors in August 2011. And by November of that year, it crossed 1 million copies. So very profitable. Great stuff. Are we ready for the next round?
Oh, yeah. I mean, why not? Let's do it.
You have anything else?
No, I think I'm set on Limbo. Are you set?
I'm set.
Yeah, let's go to the next one. There's more fun times to be had here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby.
So, baby. Inside.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Okay. Inside was the reason we're talking about this is that is the same team, directed again by this guy Arnt Jensen. Development began shortly after the release of Limbo and was this time published directly by Playdead in 2016. So we have 6 years afterwards.
Yes, Bo Burnham's favorite game.
Bo Burnham's favorite game, as he sings about all the time. It's kind of a similar setup as the last one. This is probably, I didn't check this out for a couple years after it came out because it was,
I only played it for the first time like a few months ago.
Yeah. And it's because I was a little bit like, oh, I've seen this before, you know, a little boy, you know, and getting into weird shenanigans and stuff. But it's a young boy and he's in this, it's a little bit more clear, more of a concrete world than Limbo, where you have this hazardous environment. Like, it makes more sense overall.
Yep.
Hazardous environment, a lot of like kind of background lore and implications going on, and I think for me this may contribute to why I overall find this game a little more satisfying than Limbo.
Sure.
Because it's Limbo, there's a lot of stuff where you can kind of, it's like looking at a painting, you know, it's like you can only guess at so much.
Yeah.
But it's like this game, there's just enough like little rules and things and concepts going on that it's like it makes the payoff a little bit more satisfying.
Right. I feel like it's a little bit more grounded.
Yeah.
A little. like just enough where like we'll get into all the details, but it frustrated me a little bit less. It makes a little bit more sense and is a little bit more straightforward, but I think for all in a positive way.
Yeah. With respect to, did you like the puzzles better in this one too?
Actually a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I it could be that, listen, Play Dead is just there. What's the word? You get better at your craft. You get better at balancing.
Yep.
And I found every puzzle to be less frustrating. And I found myself very seldom being like, what do you do?
Right.
Like very, very few times.
It's very well telegraphed, I think, in a lot of places. There are some really interesting mind control puzzles in this game. I thought they were very intuitive, and there's this sort of central theme emerging in this game that I think those puzzles reinforce very well. This one, would you say this one is even more gruesome than Limbo?
Kinda. Maybe it just in different way. You know, it's not as bloody, but more weird.
Yeah, well, it's like you can be shot. I have a couple here. You can be shot. You can be like blown away, like exploded essentially, mauled by dogs.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
You can when you're in these more like lab areas, you can get like harpooned in the leg by a security system.
Yeah.
It's really scary. This game was actually rated M instead of T, like Limbo.
Oh, wow.
So it's, I don't know.
Limbo was rated teen?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Crazy, right?
Wow.
But I guess it maybe is just like the color made it a little bit more
maybe
visceral. But the presentation of this game, I think, is awesome.
Yeah,
I think because it's not the black and white. It's like it was considered like monochromatic.
Yep.
Very minimalist.
Yep.
And just kind of very simple, recognizable shapes for everything. I like it a lot. Do you have any thoughts on like the visual style?
That's a great question. I think what this game does a really good job of is, yeah, it's in a monochromatic style, but the thing you have to press is red, right? You know what I mean?
Where
like the visual cues are more obvious, mm-hmm. and so it makes everything stand out a little bit, right? I also feel like there are some really interesting, I don't know if I want to use the word set pieces.
Yeah.
Set pieces that you don't necessarily interact with.
Right.
There's a couple of, I would say like with Limbo, there's, oh, dude, the spider. But in this game, it's like, remember that shot with the things hanging from the, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
There's some cool shots in this game.
Yeah. Just that they just serve the atmosphere in an artistic way. Mm-hmm. Right. I think even better also is the sound.
Yeah, definitely.
It's mm-hmm. a lot. Just the weird like grunts of the zombie people and like the end game stuff is all very like grotesque.
Yes.
And the weird noises that like the pig makes and it's just
weird,
all
right?
Like,
oh, I remember that part. That was odd.
Very odd.
That was odd.
But I don't know. It's just like it's painting such a like a gruesome picture in this one. It's really good. And did you read anything about this, the way they did some of the sound with the bones?
No.
So these fellows, Martin Stig Anderson and Cees Gunvor Ryberg, I hope I'm not butchering your names, accomplished some of this sound design via bone conduction. So they like routed synths through a skull.
Oh, wow.
And they used like transducers and like contact mics and stuff. And I don't, to be honest with you, I do not know whose skull it was or how they acquired it, but that's how they did it. And I think that's fascinating.
Wow. Interesting.
So
they weren't going on freesounds.org.
Unfortunately, no. They did the real deal. But
interesting.
So this one has a little bit more to chew on in like the body of the game. So I figured maybe make this the central pillar of discussion here. So, you know, like I said, starts out kind of similarly Limbo with you running through the woods. But it gets going way faster, which I like. You're just kind of being hunted in the woods by these like guys with dogs, right?
Well, I'm going to say, if I were to make one comparison between Inside and Limbo, how they're different, I think Inside is faster paced.
Yes.
Like the puzzles actually require you to get on, I was going to say get on your horse. There isn't actually a horse.
No.
But it really requires you to do, you need to hustle.
Get up
you
off
need
your
to,
ass.
Yeah, and, you need to move. Where like, I feel like Limbo's like, take your time. It's scary. Like, and inside, it's like, dude, there are dogs. You need to jump.
It's It's kind of like Limbo is just like being buried under like waves of depression. And it's just like, I can barely move my guy. I can barely jump this bear trap. Yeah. Inside is like, there, shit is happening.
Oh, wait, can I make, I was going to make this joke about Inside at the beginning, but I forgot to do it. I was going to say Inside stars the most athletic young boy you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, absolutely.
The most physically capable boy you've ever seen.
Yeah. It's it asks quite a lot of him.
Yeah.
I will say.
Olympic climber, swimmer, athlete.
Yeah. He does it all.
Yeah.
But I loved how it's kind of, this is the sequel to Limbo, but we're off to the races.
Yeah.
And we're going to throw some shit at you that you haven't seen before. Right.
Yeah.
So you got to get away from the dogs and stuff. So the pig part, I really want to talk about this.
I do want to talk about this.
So you're on like, okay, so the way they set it up is you're running through like the countryside and you get the sense that there's some kind of like disease or something like that, or like mad cow, because they have piles of like livestock that are like burning in the distance and stuff. And then it's like similar to the worms in Limbo, is like you see this pig and it's like, is it the only thing that's infected? Are there other things that get infected with the worms and stuff?
I don't know.
I don't remember exactly.
I just kind of remember how you end up kind of defeating the pig, and it's really oof.
Do you want to talk about it? I've never seen something like this before. It's like kind of one of those classic boss battles where you got to jump over it.
Yeah.
That's very athletic as well. You could jump over it and like when it bumps its head on something, you have to like pull the worm out of its ass.
I believe you pull the worm out of its ass, and I'm going to be gross here for a second. I believe after you pull the worm out, some poop comes out.
No, really?
I believe so.
Oh my God. I probably fucking blinked when it happened.
I was like, dude. I think that's some fecal matter.
That is absolutely disgusting.
I'm not making it up. Someone can correct me if it's mud. Okay. But I just don't think so.
It's coming out of its ass. It's like, let's call a spade a spade.
I said at some point on this episode, I got to bring it up.
Oh, yeah. It's, okay, so we talked about it. It's weird. There's this part with like the little chicks. Remind me of White Shadows as well.
Yeah.
That you got to like help knock over boxes with them and
stuff. Yeah, you got to use these little birds.
Little Tweety birds. But it's, I don't know, that I just like all this stuff a lot, but it's strange. So you kind of get into like more civilized areas as you go on, and I really like when you have to blend in with the line of mind control people.
Yes,
I love that.
I think some of the best puzzles in this game are the people involved ones.
Yeah,
where like the weird mind control stuff where you're controlling factory workers is cool. The parts where you have to act like you're a worker, either standing in the line or hiding behind a box or not interrupting someone's work day, or else you get caught on camera.
Yes.
It's really interesting.
It's strange because it's right on the in that perfect pocket for me where it's kind of abstract but not completely, you know, and it's painting just a slightly crisper picture than Limbo.
Yep.
Where you have in this factory part, you're basically, what's happening here is there's something going on where maybe a higher social order or class or something is enslaving or like resurrecting dead bodies or something, or just like something's going on where they are using some people to perform like labor or stuff like that.
Something
and
like that.
They're zombified in some way, and they're looking for you. And you have to blend in with these people. They're kind of marching in rhythm, and someone is like taking notes, like about it, like how everyone's moving, and like it's like an assembly line almost.
Yeah, assembly
right?
line of people.
And there's this weird, really weird moment where a bunch of people are watching you, and something I noticed is that all these guys are like wearing like the white masks.
Yes.
And then there's like a family and like a baby with a white mask. Like it's like a full mask. It's really fucking strange.
It's interesting.
But I like this part a lot. Do you remember the shockwave room?
You mean like where you get blown to bits?
I love this part.
This is like, it's interesting. I don't understand what is making you explode into Gears of War pieces.
Like, it's this big like sonic.
No, I know. It's like this wave. Sonic wave that just makes you explode.
Yeah.
It's
like, why do they have this?
I don't know.
Why do they have this room?
I don't know.
I don't know. I just really enjoyed like the big like kind of wind up, and there is actually I think a visual cue for this one, right?
I believe so.
So that's an improvement. But I love that shit. And yeah, you're talking about the upside down room. You want to talk about that?
So they do this a couple of times, I'm pretty sure. There are some moments where it's later in the game. There are some moments where either the controls are how do I put this? Either sometimes there's like water in the ceiling and like your perception of how to combat it is reversed.
Right.
And there's also sections where it's hard to describe other than what you just said, where your perception of how to jump or what to do is backwards.
Right.
They do a good job with this as well. Very unexpected, but they do it a couple times in different ways.
Yeah. And there's this really like kind of gruesome image of like all these people like hanging upside down, like chained to the floor. And
yeah.
Stuff.
It's like they're chained to the floor, but the floor is the ceiling.
Yeah,
like, I don't really know what's going
you
on.
You really have to see it to understand what we're talking about.
It's kind of Death Stranding-y.
A little. Does have that vibe, but I want to talk about another pit part I love is the submarine part with the mermaid.
I don't dislike this. I just think they did it too much.
Too much. Yeah. I could see that, but I'm really creeped out by it. It's like a very sparse visual where you have to get in this little submersible and there's just like a little light in front of you and the controls are very simple and you have to like go down into this flooded area of the factory or whatever. And there's this weird like mermaid thing that keeps following
you. There's like
you.
A mermaid version of you and you have to shine a light on her to keep her away.
Yeah.
You have to like close doors so she stops chasing you.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I just think it happens too many times.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But it's cool and weird. And
I thought the goofiest part was how you can make the submarine jump. Remember this?
You have to like charge it up.
You
and
can
like
you can like hop in it. It's really weird.
You have to like charge through like walls and stuff with it. But it's just memorable to me. And then at one point, like you get like the mermaid's kiss or something, and like she turns you and you can breathe underwater.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't know. This is the part where I'm not saying they jumped the shark, but I'm like, I think we're out of reality now. I think it's a little, this is very odd.
Yes and no, because what happens next, I'm in love with, is you get into these labs and it's everyone seems like really distracted.
Yeah.
Like you're all these scientists, they're not even paying any attention to you. And you go up to everyone's huddled over the window.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're like, you can't see what's going on. And is it like, so how do you wind up down there again?
So you essentially get in through the back and go into the tank, essentially.
Right. And you there's this other body of water. And in the middle is this just big mass of flesh.
Flesh. Yeah.
I would say just like legs and arms and shit sticking out.
Yep.
And
it's like the Dark Souls monsters of like all the people are a ball. Right?
Yes. Yes. Those guys. And, so you have to like disconnect it and then it like kind of grabs you and pulls you into it.
Yep.
And then you play as it.
And so I guess this is called the huddle.
It is.
I called it the glob.
Yeah.
Like it's essentially it's this glob of arms and legs but you get sucked into it and you control the huddle.
Yes.
And you have to roll around and get out of the factory.
Yes.
And I was like, this game is so fucking weird.
Yeah.
And it's
like
awesome.
And it's just like the weird noises it makes, because it's like several people like groaning and like stomping around, and like the physics make perfect sense, and like how you can just like like with a CEO gets like squashed.
Yes,
it's so funny. And it's what I found interesting about this is like, so you're escaping from this lab, but some people are helping you.
Yeah, some people are helping you escape,
and I don't know if it's like, is this part of the plan, or is it are these like some people are sympathetic to
I
you
think some people are like, fuck this place.
I'm not getting paid enough.
Yeah.
The huddle's released. But I fucking love the way this game ends.
Yeah.
Where it's just like you get out, you roll down the mountainside through the woods, and then the huddle is just like in this column of sunlight
on the beach.
And that's the end.
And I was kind of surprised where you don't get out of it. Right. You're just the huddle.
That's it.
And is the title of the game inside, because you're inside the huddle?
You're okay. So, do you know about like the Because there's something like this in Limbo too, but I don't think it affects the ending. There's like collectibles in these games.
Yeah, there's like 10 of them.
So in this game, what you do is you approach these devices and you unplug them. And then when you unplug the last one, your character just like he just kind of goes ragdoll. Like
yeah.
He just like disconnects. And so the implication, I guess, is like, was the huddle like controlling you the
whole maybe.
Time, you know? And it's kind of because you're unplugging it from that like device or whatever. It's a weird one. It's very interesting. I don't know if it has some kind of, it's like, is it commenting on free will or something like that?
Probably. That's kind of the discourse. That's the discourse on this game.
It's a little bit, it's got some stuff going on under the hood. So what grade are we giving this bad boy?
You got to go high, I think.
I'm going high.
I think you got to, I mean, do we go A?
I'm going A on
I think
inside.
You have to, right?
It's so fucking good.
I mean, it's really, really good.
It's because it takes, I really thought like, all right, another cutesy platform or whatever. It's kind of scary. And it's just like, it's where, what I like to call where reach meets grasp, you know, where it's striving for something great and it achieves it. And, there's depending on your taste, you know, I don't think there's any significant foul steps here or there, you know, like I think it's cool, but
I think this game has very few problems. It might be none.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I mean, you mentioned the submarine part was a little too long and it's kind of gets away from reality a little bit. So if that bothers you, maybe that's one thing, but I was trying to figure out like why I like this one so much and like what lessons people could learn from like this being so successful.
I don't know. This game to me just kind of feels like that's the same company. It's an iteration on Limbo, but during its development time, a lot of games came out that were like Limbo.
Right.
So it's hard. It's hard to say. It's almost like how, like, how do I put this? Like, Dishonored was heavily influenced by Thief, and then, you know, another Thief game came out.
Right.
Right. It's kind of interesting where there are a lot of games like it that came around, that came out after the original one. So it's hard to analyze.
Yeah. It's very low. Like, it feels like, okay, like, yeah, there are many, imitators, but this is definitely the real McCoy here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it's just like it's such a complete thought.
Yeah.
Like start to finish. And like how many times have we talked about that? Like the ending is the worst part of a game. Like,
and this is like awesome.
This is maybe the best.
It's awesome.
Like it's just like if anything, it's one of the best parts of the game.
Oh, I think so.
And it's such a like exciting, hilarious, disgusting. Even if you're not engaging with the game's ideas at all, it's so
hilariously gnarly and awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible. So that's all I had on Inside.
I think we can stamp that one in. Oh God,
the Hall of Famers.
Yeah, and, how do you want to intro this next one?
I'll just so it requires a little bit more glue to connect it to the other ones, but. This game is called Somerville. It was released in 2022 and developed and published by Jumpship, which is an independent studio founded by this fellow named Dino Patti, who was one of the key people behind Playdead's early success. But it is a departure from Playdead. It does not feature the talent of Arndt Jensen, who worked on the first two games. It was kind of his baby. So this game, it's kind of similar gameplay wise to the others, where it's sort of an adventure game.
Yeah,
a little bit of a different perspective. This one is kind of takes the opposite approach, where it's a story of a grown man, a father, searching for his family after being separated from them during would you call it an alien invasion?
Can I reiterate a little bit of what I said to you in off mic?
Oh, go right ahead.
So from what I understand in the beginning of this game, the marker from Dead Space crashes into like Medford, Massachusetts,
yes.
right? And makes its way into Somerville, Massachusetts.
Yes.
And I made this joke to you where the first scene is you're driving your family down Mystic Ave in Medford, and then the marker crashes into Earth.
Yep.
That's more or less what's going on, right?
More or less. It's some kind of other worldly invasion or attack. Before we get too far, we talked about the puzzles of the first two. What do you think of the puzzles of this one?
I don't like any of them.
Well, because most of them revolve around this like power that's like you turn stuff into liquids and solids, right?
Yeah. Where essentially you have to turn solid objects into liquid, and then later in the game you have to do both to try to climb or swim. And there are different colors, and you have like different color magic. I don't care. Like, it's, I don't really like any of it.
No.
But wait a minute. Yeah. Before you answer whether you like the puzzles, I need to bring this up because it bothered the hell out of me.
Okay.
Did you feel like in this game, your character's walking or running speed was always wrong?
Yes.
Like, it always felt like to me, hey, dude, can you move faster? Or why? How come in this scene I can't move fast and I just walk, but in this scene, I don't get it. I don't understand the pacing of this, and it's driving me crazy.
It's really like you're looking for your family. A little bit more get up and go, man.
But like, in some of these scenes, your character is sprinting. I'm like, okay, this makes sense. And in some scenes, I'm like, dude, if the light hits you, it's game over. Can we run? Like, I don't get this.
Yeah.
Like, are you making me walk because it's harder? I don't get it.
No, there's a lot of that. I didn't even think about that until you brought it up, though.
Bothered the hell out of me.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, no, I wasn't really into that, like, because, I don't know, it seems like something that will lead to more, that solid liquid thing. It's just very, very rudimentary. I guess it's different than Limbo and Inside, but it's...
You know what is different about this game? You move from right to left to beat the game. Did you pick up on this?
Oh, really?
In Limbo and Inside, you're almost always going left to right. In this game, you're going right to left.
Oh.
Did you pick up on that?
No, I did not.
It was fine. I wish the game was better.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's keep going.
Getting into that. That's funny you brought that up, because it's what do you think about it's not completely, I wouldn't say, but it's closer to three dimensions than the first two.
Yeah. Where it's more of the Little Nightmares thing, where it is, how do you describe it? It's kind of a 2D game in a 3D space.
Like 2.5D.
Yeah, one of those. But you rarely have to go...
Engage with it that
Engage
way.
With the depth of that. You rarely have to.
No, it's... I don't know. It's like it didn't offend me, but I didn't think it was better than the side scroller. If anything, it just felt a little looser, maybe.
I think because the pacing of character movement bothered me the whole time, I always felt weird, like, oh, okay, well, if I want to go check out the 2.5D, my character is going to walk really slowly.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, fuck this.
I don't know. And I think like the art style is not bad, but it feels kind of interchangeable.
It just looks a little bit like a Telltale game.
I was going to say some of the alien structures reminded me a lot of like Abzu, remember the underwater game? Like,
I mean, I think the joke I made is you get your magic powers from a Halo Spartan.
Yep. There's definitely some of that too. I'm not sure like how remarkable it is, but did you feel that the sound design was successful?
Great question. I don't know. It's tricky. The sound design was unremarkable to me.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, we're not going to talk about this till later. The end of the game is really funny when it comes to sound design.
Yes, it is.
But it's fine. Like, I wish I had a better critique for you. I thought it was fine.
No, it's. I think it's fine. I think it's... You know what it is? It's just like there's just a lot of stuff where it felt like copying off out of somebody else's homework, you know?
Or you know what it was? It kind of sound like it's a lot of like sub bass and like, or like robots. Boom.
Yeah.
Right? It's
like,
a lot
like,
of that.
Like the Geth and Mass Effect.
Yeah. Kind of yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. But here's the thing is that I knew going in that this game did not review as positively as the first two, but it was on my radar because it was some of the same people as Playdead. And I thought it was funny that they picked for a location where I live. And I can't really say for sure if it's Somerville, New Jersey, perhaps, but it's a Somerville. There's a big concert at one point, which I joked was Boston Calling.
That's very funny.
It could be any town, USA, we'll say. But okay, so getting into it. I think that the first like 10 to 15 minutes did successfully build suspense.
Sure.
I will say you get like the Skinamarink TV kind of like static-y.
Isn't the first thing you do is you play as the baby?
Yes. And I think the pacing of this segment is slightly hamstrung by how I don't know what to do.
Yeah, you know, you just remember we talked about before are the simple controls of Limbo okay or does it hinder the game?
Yeah.
In Somerville, it hinders.
Yeah.
Where, like, when you're running around as the baby, I'm like, am I supposed to press an interact button? Am I just walking somewhere?
Where am I going? Because there's the added dimensionality. It's like another, like, layer.
Wrinkle.
Yeah. Like, another just, I don't know. It makes it a little less smooth. How do you get out of this? Like you knock over the
I literally
remote
think you accidentally put yourself in a trash can and then your mom comes and gets you. I'm not joking. Like, aren't I right?
You're right. It's because you're climbing up the kitchen. You're like climbing you see up the lights in the distance. And
yeah, it's almost like you're, I thought the beginning goal was like you're trying to close windows or there's light coming in from outside and it's keeping you up.
Yeah.
But it's actually the marker, but. I think you literally accidentally put yourself in a trash can or something.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. so I want to talk about, so the beginning of this game, you know, the baby wakes up the parents and, you know, the mom is like attending to the baby and you're hanging out with the dog, right?
Yeah.
And you're walking around the house, like just, you know, it's like middle of the night and you're just trying to figure out what's going on. I encountered one of the most shameful bugs that I have ever experienced.
Go ahead. Okay.
So basically what happened is we were talking about this in our little group chat and Nick was like, your brother Nick was like, what happened? I was like, Nick, he just released a book, Fogbound, buy it now.
Yeah.
I was like, Nick, imagine you were missing like pages 20 to 40 out of your book. That's what happened to me.
What happened?
So for games like this, where we mentioned that you can explore a little bit further, if I don't know exactly what to do, the game is not telling you anything I guess your objective is like to feed the dog at this point.
I think so.
Right. It's very unclear, but I typically wind up doing a little bit of pixel hunting where it's like, I don't know, what am I supposed to interact with?
Yeah,
here,
I do the same.
And what happened to me was that the next phase of the game was triggered when I clicked the wrong thing.
Really?
So what happens is that everything pops off, like there's this big alien thing in the sky that you see very early, but one of these space guys crashes into your house,
yes,
essentially, and you touch his hand.
Yeah.
Way before that happened, I clicked the point where you touch his hand and it cut to that point in the game. And I was just like,
wow,
dude, what's going on? Because like your family's in the corner suddenly. And I was like, did I fuck something up?
So you were in the basement trying to feed the dog and then it triggered the scene where you touched the Master Chief.
Yeah. Master Chief.
What the fuck?
And I was like, is this game about like dimensions or something? Like what's happening?
That is a bad time for a bug before the plot to see.
And I was like, I need to make sure that was right. And I looked, I was like, Somerville walkthrough, whatever. I'm like, I was missing a whole fucking chunk of the game there.
Wow, you actually missed like the only exciting part.
No, like, so I went back and played it again.
I'm like,
that was...
That's bad.
I'm a pretty forgiving guy, but it was just kind of...
That's bad.
It wasn't good.
It's bad.
So a couple different layers of issue with this game. As you kind of like, you know, your family thinks you're dead. You get zapped by Master Chief.
Yep.
And it's like, I think, do they just leave you?
Or
like,
I was literally about to say this. So you're the dad. There's the dog, the mom, and the baby.
Right.
You touch the Master Chief's hand and I guess you quote unquote die. And then you wake up and your dog's there, but the wife and baby just left you there.
Like what happened? They didn't bury you?
No, I guess like, then again, it is like an alien invasion. I guess, you know, you have a baby. It's like, okay, dad's dead. Let's roll.
Yes.
But they leave the dog too. But your trusty dog.
Maybe the dog wouldn't go with them.
It just kind of seems like not a lot of time went by. You know what
I mean? Not a lot of time went by and not a lot of thought went into the game.
Oh, God.
So, no, it's just like, it's very, I was so thrown by the bug. So I was very like, okay, let me get into what am I supposed to be doing? You get back on the road with your dog here, and you're just running around in the daytime, and there's wreckage everywhere, right? And that's I think when you touch this guy's hand is when you get the blue
power
glove or whatever. Your dog hangs around for a while. You get separated at Boston Calling.
nice.
And you This is where you run into the Red Master Chief, right?
Yeah.
And he gives you like the red hand.
Yeah. Isn't that in the cave?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like the bigger guy. And yeah. You keep getting flashes of like, I think what's going to happen at the end. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Something like that. And it's, I don't know. It's just not a lot happens narratively. You wind up like reconnecting with your family at a certain point.
This part is so weird to me.
What?
Can we talk about this?
Yeah.
The reconnecting with your family part?
Yeah.
You essentially meet up with them at like a Walmart super center. But
yeah.
Like so at this point, the dad is beat up. He's limping. Like he clearly needs medical attention.
It's very like, the reason I say that we literally moments ago were talking about how they were separated. There's a good chunk of time before they're reunited, but not a lot happens.
Yeah, like nothing happens.
So yeah, you continue.
So like essentially you get separated from your family. You're walking with your dog. You get beat up as fuck. You go through this cave and then you meet up with them at like a Walmart.
Yes.
And so.
Well, there's a little like tent right in the back. I was like, what's happening here?
So, okay, here's what weirds me out about this. You're clearly beat up and need medical attention. And so, but you and your family, instead of hiding out at the Walmart with other people, there's other survivors, you leave and go explore the city
immediately.
What are you doing? Like, I don't understand this. So your wife gives you a hug and then you're just going to limp through disaster. What is going on?
I was like, this is a limitation of there's like no dialogue or anything like
that. Yeah.
It's really tough to know.
No, this is the one point in the game where there is.
What
the really? Baby says daddy.
Oh,
remember this?
Well,
there's one bit of voice acting. It's this.
You're right, but it doesn't like, I don't know.
You're an aesthetic guy.
Does that tell us anything about their motivations? No. Like,
no, I think the stupidest thing here was clearly dad is in rough shape, so let's continue the journey.
Like,
why?
You know, I could, but you could see it in a movie if he was like, come on, we gotta keep moving. Like, what, they're right behind us or whatever, you know, like something like that.
But you're at a down moment. Right, it's not like that at all.
No, it's very like it feels like a moment where you would pass out. And
I almost thought the game was going to end
a couple days later, right? But yeah, you go for a little sightseeing tour in the middle of the night, and sure enough, you run into the aliens, right? And another Master Chief helps you out, like the purple one.
Yeah, the purple Master Chief,
it's like a sniper kind of. You wind up like trapped at this like bell tower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And your family is left behind and you get rescued by like the.
By a pelican.
By a pelican. But like a big UFO comes down and it's like, I'm not really sure because there's like the Master Chief guys. I don't know. Are those supposed to be human or like an alien?
I don't know. I think they're supposed to be a friendly alien force.
Yeah.
I think.
The like. Ones that are like robot lions are like the bad guys. Right?
Essentially, like the friendly Master Chiefs put you on this spacecraft, but your wife and baby just get left to the mech dogs, right?
I guess
that right. I think that's what happens.
It's a big like misunderstanding. It happens so fast.
Oh, we forgot. Oh my god!
But it happens. It like you're being attacked and like they get left behind and there's like a crumbling tower or whatever. But. I thought the visual was very cool when you go to that underwater base. It's like what's like the you're flying over this ocean and then you go down into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
There's this weird part where you have to like demonstrate your
powers,
your gloves.
Yeah, you have
in
to
front
like,
of the audience.
You have to demonstrate your different colored gloves in front of like scientists.
Yeah, like
and
oh look at this guy.
Is
we
this
found.
What's happening? Are they turning you into a Master Chief?
I think it's like. It's very much like a Tron thing or like something like that where it's like, this kid's got spunk, you know?
Let's
put him on the team. And it's just weird to see that play out in like a sparse indie game. It feels kind of like...
I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't seen it before, but it's... I don't know how effective it is.
I don't know about you, but like I was really teetering on this game. And when you found your wife and kid, I said, maybe it'll end and this was fine. And then this happens.
Oh,
it keeps going. Oh, it gets worse.
So you guys like you do this like Power Rangers launch at like at the enemy spaceship. Right. And so there's a ton of these like fake endings.
Are we already at that point in the game, right? There's a bunch of like,
what else you got?
That's it, right? You essentially have to like walk through like liquid water world with all your different like torches and shit. Remember? to get to this part, do you remember this? You have to walk forward through the 2.5D. Mm-hmm. You don't walk left to right. You go forward.
Yes.
Remember this shit?
Yes, yes.
You're like, you're going through all of these like fever dreams and like simulations and shit.
Yeah. But like what happens is it's really funny because I thought it was going to end with you sitting down on the bench with your family.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. And it's, I got the achievement for like, you got the fake ending. I was just like, oh, I fucked that up.
I guess, should we get right
and
to
it? It started me from like the checkpoint. And I'm like, this game is so abstruse that I don't know like what's real.
Can we get right to the stupid part? It's yeah. It's all stupid.
Okay, go ahead.
So the way the quote unquote end of the game works is you have to play like a rhythm game or like an Ocarina of Time. Remember like the mini game where they play you a song and you play them a song. You remember that in Ocarina?
Yeah, you essentially
do the same thing with this alien life force.
Yes.
But like, and then the game ends. However, from what I understand, to get the real ending, you have to play a very specific song that you learned from. How do I put this? Throughout the course of
like
the game,
signs, right?
Throughout the course of the game, you find these little eyeball robots, and you have to play the song that they were flashing to you the whole game. Oh. How the fuck would you remember that?
No,
it doesn't make any sense.
No, no, no.
And you essentially play a rhythm game with the aliens, and that's it.
You get one ending or another. There's like a fake house ending.
I got that
one. There's the one I thought was really funny is if you just hold the triggers down and I don't know what it does, but it's like because you're blasting like synths at each other, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you hold both your triggers down, it just makes this really loud one for a long time. And it's like I got the achievement like you provoked war with the aliens. I was like, oh no.
Fine.
But if it's like, I don't know. Yeah, because you can either like tap back what they are sending you, which gets you the bad ending, or you can do that like ridiculous memorization. The thing is just like for me, number one, who wants to play this game again? I'm sorry, but who wants to go through?
Like how, but also like, but there's no way, there's no way to track what the rhythm was that you're supposed to play to get the good ending. It's not in a log. The little robots that show you how to get the good ending. There's like 10 of them throughout the game. Like
you would have to be physically writing it down.
How would you know what to do?
And how would you know that that's going to have a bearing on the ending?
That's great. I'm sorry. Like I don't know. I'm sorry. Like this game, this is. I'm trying to be diplomatic. I can't. I'm sorry. This wasn't good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
I was really trying to be charitable because
me too.
I, you know, mixed reviews. I try to see the good in everything, but I don't know. It's just like, could it have worked? Perhaps, but just you would have to make a lot of changes. I think
the only thing that jumped out to me about this game was that you move from right to left to complete the game, not left to right. Besides that, I was either bored or irritated, or I was not compelled by this entire time.
To me, it I think it feels like someone kind of trying like approximating what indie games like should feel like.
Yeah,
you know, like. They're like, oh, it's kind of like, you know, there's not a lot of dialogue and there's like this very sparse art style and, you know, and just not really fully understanding there has to be something else under that.
Well, yes. Also, I shouldn't discount this. The liquid to solid puzzle thing is not bad. Like, it's kind of unique.
It works.
I just feel like the game around it is not interesting, right? It's not, that part of it is kind of unique. But
it's unique, but what is it
the
really?
The game is not enjoyable. What does it mean? Like, what are
you
we
know,
doing?
You know, like how I mentioned how in inside, like the mind control puzzles, they fit with the theme of the game.
Right, right, right.
What
right.
is this about?
What is this liquid solid
thing?
I don't know.
It's nothing. All right. So, shall we go grades here?
Ouch. It's rare that we have a pause and it's rare that I'm speechless. Okay.
Shall I start?
Why don't you start? Hold on, wait. Okay, you start. I have a grade in my brain.
Okay.
Ready on the count of three. You ready?
One, two, three.
Ready? One, two, three.
C minus.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that? Because, you know, I was thinking about, because something that helps me grade sometimes is I kind of look at what company it's going to keep.
Sure.
So I was thinking about, it's like, is it a C? Like, did I like some things about, because I gave a C to Rayman 3. because I don't think that game is good, but there are a couple things that I liked about it. And this, it's just like a C minus is like, it wasn't like, it wasn't painful, but it was really boring.
That's, you know, it's rare that I use the word boring to describe video games, right?
I try not to.
That, damn, like, you may have just nailed it with like a very simple word. I think this game is boring.
Yeah. There's like a version of it where I would find the little Master Chiefs delightful, you know, different context for searching for your family in like a hellscape. Like, that's interesting on paper, is it, you know, but it's just, it doesn't, they don't really do anything.
I almost feel like this game, at the same time, it's almost an equal opposite problem. It's very boring. They also try to do too much and none of it works.
Wow.
Right? I think I'm right. Okay, ready? Yeah. There's a marker. There are Master Chiefs. You have magic powers. There's an alien invasion. There's a rhythm game. What is going on? Like
Somerville.
Yeah, Somerville.
It's like, because, all right, so here's another thing, is that we talked about how, because these are very simple games. There's not a lot to talk about. The titles themselves, Limbo, we talked about how that relates to the game. Inside, we had different interpretations of that. Somerville, it's like, what?
That's the town you're in.
That's all you got?
I mean, to be, and here's the thing, I'm going to make a joke. Do you know, how long do you spend in Somerville? Like 5 minutes. Like, it's
that's
called,
all you need to.
I think, to be honest, I thought what was going to happen was it take, then there's no way it's about Somerville, Mass, because it's like Somerville, Mass is like a city. Like,
yeah,
this
it's
like farm.
It's very rural, and
they screwed that up. Anyway, it's, maybe they're not talking about the one that we live near. Anyway, here we go. I'm going to try to be succinct here. I thought what they were going to do was, it's called Somerville because it takes place in that town and something's happening in that town. To the people there, or you got to figure that out.
Yeah.
Almost like, you know, hey, it's Greenvale, Deadly Premonition, something's happening here.
Yeah.
But it just happens to be where you start.
I remember seeing the trailer at some conference or whatever, and it was just like, oh, it's like, it's by some of the same people who did Limbo and Inside. And it's like the dad is like shepherding his family through a flooded basement and stuff. I'm like, oh, that seems kind of interesting.
Also, but like, what mine shafts are near Somerville, Mass? Like, come on.
It's not supposed to be Somerville.
It's definitely
but,
not.
I don't know. That's the least of my gripes with the game, but it's, I don't know. I think so. We've talked about these three games. Just to kind of wrap it all up here, I want to ask you, let's talk about, in general, the strengths and weaknesses of this type of indie adventure game.
Sure. Kind of how do you describe this? Like indie adventure platformer, 2.5D, kind of stuff?
Yeah, you know, some of the finer points may vary title to title, but I feel like, you know, we've talked about White Shadows, we've talked about Little Nightmares, mm-hmm. 1 and 2, we've talked about these games.
And these are all the same genre.
The same genre. So strengths and weaknesses, let's hear them.
So the strengths and weaknesses, this is tough. Wow, it's a great question. Mm-hmm. I think the strengths and weaknesses of this genre are the controls are very simple, mm-hmm. and that is both a strength and a weakness. Anyone can play it. However, it leads to some puzzles being like, what the fuck do you do? All I can do is grab and walk.
Right.
So it can lead to moments of I'm standing there with my, you know, my, I don't know, my hand on my chin. I'm like, am I stupid? Like, what is going on? That's plus and minus.
Yeah.
Number two, these games are surviving a lot on, I hate this word. They're surviving a lot on vibe and aesthetic. Right? Ooh, does it look cool? Does it look interesting? Am I scared? Am I interested? Purely on what it looks like and sounds like. Some people would argue that these games teeter on not being games. They're close. They're like right there. Yeah. I think these games are games.
But they have a fail state.
They do have a fail state. So these are video games. So to be more succinct about your question, the difficult aspects of this game are the controls are so simple to the point where it actually causes you to dysfunction. I don't know what to do. Number two, because there's so little gameplay, you're surviving on what does it look like and how do I feel? Mm-hmm. And that's like most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or number three, because there's no dialogue, there's no quote unquote narrative, you're relying on someone who's interested in figuring it out.
Yeah.
I think you give me your thoughts, because that's what comes to mind immediately.
No, that's a great place to start. And I'm kind of thinking about it's, I feel like people are a little bit more wary now, where it's like, oh, I, you know, this delightful, like very specific looking type of game, this art style, it's very you know, cutesy or scary or something like that. And it's, I feel like people know at this point that doesn't necessarily make it good.
You know what's funny? Our friend Nick, who's been on the show a couple of times, he made a very funny like quip about these kind of games. He said, "Oh, great, another indie platformer that's a synonym for my depression." or a metaphor for my depression.
Yeah. Great. No, I know what he means. But that's a great, yeah, because I mean they're all like fairly dour. I would say the ones that I like better have more to chew on. Whereas like something like White Shadows, where it's this like whole ecosystem that's very, you know, it's like it has those aesthetic things where it's like, oh, it's all like black and white, you know, it's all this weird bird world, but it's there's rules and there's like concepts and there's an ecosystem, you know.
Right. It's almost like, I'm trying to figure out the right word for this, where is it obtuse and vibey, and that's honestly, we're talking about these kind of games are now a genre.
Yeah,
it is. Like it's obtuse, it's vibey, but I'm waiting for the rug pull in all of these games, and they all have it.
Yeah,
all the good ones, right? Okay, like
something else going on.
Little Nightmares. Oh, you're actually eating people. Maybe you're bad.
Right.
That's the rug pull. Or in Inside, the huddle, the glob of people. What the fuck? This is so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or like Limbo started it all. Oh, you start back at the beginning.
Right.
And there's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I feel like now we're just kind of analyzing the genre.
Well, yeah. And it's some people would call them like art games in some ways.
I would say games like Abzu and Journey are that.
That's part, yeah.
Those games are less like games.
Yeah, but this is a...
These are games.
Yeah, they have platforming elements. I mean, not all of them are like the most innovative in the world. I feel like which kind of like I'm getting into my final thought here is, do you think we've seen enough of this?
That's a great question. It's hard for me to answer because I feel like I've ingested these slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Like played Limbo in 2010, didn't play one for... Unless I'm just misremembering games I've played. I've played so many.
Mm-hmm.
You know, played Limbo, didn't play this stuff for a while. You know, then played Little Nightmares, played White Shadows, then played Inside.
Mm-hmm.
I am actually not satiated with this stuff yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still okay with playing more of them because I don't know what it is. Okay, I'm going to give you an appeal. They're short.
Yeah.
So I, you know, if you're a listener of the show and you've listened to, you know, hours of us talking about this, and where we are, I don't want to speak for you. Where I sort of am in my gaming life is if I can beat a game in one or two sittings, that appeals to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, ooh, instead of big and open, it's tight. It's succinct. They have this message.
Quality control.
Or also, they have a thesis statement that's very succinct.
Mm-hmm.
And that appeals to me. So, okay, ready? I didn't really like Somerville. It's fine. I don't care. It was one evening.
Yeah.
It's fine. I didn't waste weeks of my life playing this.
Yeah.
I don't find anything to be a waste like that anyway, but it was an experience for an evening. That's okay with me.
It's less like, whereas some of the games we've covered in the past that we didn't like, are just like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to go home from work and work on this, you know?
Right. Like, where it's like, this might be, I don't know if I actually believe in this. It's just what's in my brain right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay with me that I took 3 hours to play through a C minus. I'm mad that I played 40 hours of a C plus in Horizon.
Yeah.
Right. Where, oh my God, you know, it's the game is taking weeks of my life.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am, to be more succinct, I'm okay with this genre. I'm okay to keep playing them because if you think about it, what are you smiling at?
I gotcha, baby.
You got
I
me, gotcha. Baby? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Man.
Just cut me off.
No. You have a very historic hatred of the cutesy platformers, and I just got you to admit on mic that you like them.
That's okay. Good job.
You like Krabby Patties, don't you, Squidward?
That's funny. I think, I don't know. I feel like we're analyzing me. I think in like season one, we were just, I was very flippant with no, whatever, don't like this, fine. But I should say this genre is not all the same, right? Of course I liked Limbo. I liked Inside, liked Little Nightmares, all this kind of stuff. I think honestly, it's been literally years at this point. I don't remember why I said I'm sick of the cute stuff. I don't really remember what it was in reference to.
Something tripped. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know what it was. If people find it, just put it in the comments. I don't remember.
Yeah. But I thought that was funny. Because I, you know, it was just we were covering so many of them, and I was just like, we should just do the big bad boys, you know? Like, mm-hmm. And
it's also possible that I just, maybe it's a little bit of ignorance from my side of the camp where I didn't play all the big ones, right? Like, example, Little Nightmares, fucking loved it for the most part. You mm-hmm. can go listen to the episode. Inside, very interesting. Limbo, very interesting. Somerville, I didn't really like it, but interesting.
Yeah.
Right?
I think what is valuable as, like, Somerville's value in this conversation is, like, kind of a Goofus and Gallant thing where it's like, you can fuck it up. Like, there are some...
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential, but if you don't know what you're doing, it will show.
Yeah, for sure. And do you have anything else, or should we wrap?
I think that's it for me.
All right, everybody. That's going to do it, and we'll see you next time on Goddamn GameCube. Thank you.